Oh, hello there. It's the titular Matt Stewart letting you know that I'm going to be in Sydney, Australia, and then Brisbane, Australia, doing short runs of my show, Dryer Dryer. Sydney from the 8th to the 12th of May, Brisbane from the 16th to the 19th of May. Hey, but also, you might not know this, I'm doing a live Who Knew It with Matt Stewart in Sydney on the 13th of May and in Brisbane on the 14th of May. Holy moly, am I looking forward to these shows. Please get tickets for all of these now. If you use the discount code DOGOON, that might work. I'm not sure, but worth a try. Really hope to see you there. Sydney especially, please come along. Brisbane also, though you're buying tickets earlier, better. Sydney lift, please. All right, I'll see you soon now. On with the show.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Who Knew with Matt Stewart, the show where the guests write the wrong answers. I'm the titular Matt Stewart. Our first guest has a show coming up at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival called Act Like I'm Not Here. It's Big Wet herself, Mish Witrup.
It's Big Wet. G'day.
Big Wet, it's so good to have you back.
It's so nice
you're
to be
one
here.
You're one of the listeners' favourite guests.
Of course I
think
I am.
You're probably the only one who has a nickname that really took off on the show.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Okay, sick.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Have you had anyone come up to you and call you Big Wet? On the street for anything?
Not in relation to the podcast.
No, okay.
Yeah, like,
I can't
course,
even remember
naturally,
the context
naturally.
Of it anymore, but I love it. Our second guest this week, you may know from Mako Mermaids or their upcoming live show, a group of people do an improv show. It's Amy Ruffle.
Hello. I'm so sad I don't have a Big Wet, Little Wet, Middle Met, Wet nickname.
That could be our goal for today.
I want one.
Yeah, you've got to really commit to your love for this podcast. I'm obsessed with this podcast. You don't understand. So that's probably why.
Okay. So, well, yeah. I'll try harder. Yeah. I guess is the...
Our third guest this week, first time, you may know him from The Tourist or his new podcast, The Greg Larson Show. It's Greg Larson.
Hello. What is Big Wet?
I don't remember.
I can't remember either.
How do you not remember? How can you...
I don't remember. It was in relation to something. I think it was when I was on with Braz and Danny Walker.
Yeah, right.
And it just kind of stuck. And I do actually get people who now refer to me as Big Wet. And it wasn't a sexy thing when we came up with it.
No.
And then now as time has passed, yeah, I'm like, oh,
sexy.
I think they're talking about... my sex.
Okay, so it wasn't a sexy thing. Like Big Wet is it's a very sexy name. Like, to be called Big Wet, it's very sensuous.
Well, hey, if you were wildly attracted to somebody, right, and they said to you, "Call me Big Wet," you'd get hard. Like that's like if you were attracted to them,
they've got
to
be pretty hot.
If you were attracted, yeah. I'm not saying if I just would come up and it's like call me Big Wet, you'd be like, well, now I'm in love with Mish. I'm saying that like if
I think if someone said call me Big Wet in the middle of an erotic encounter, I'd go
hang on, yeah,
nah, let's not worry about it.
Stop yucking my yum, man. Fucked up.
Fair.
All right, this is the way the show works. Ask a relatively obscure trivia question. Our contestants have to write a convincing fake answer. I then read their answers as well as the real one and have to guess which one is correct. Here's the first question. It comes from listener Kayla Hodquitz from Lemoyne in Maine. And the question is, what does growlery mean? What does growlery
you better
mean?
Better believe the Big Witness answer that.
Maybe that's how the name started.
It's all coming back to me now.
Can you are you saying growlery?
Growlery, yeah. It's a growler with a Y at the end.
Growler with a Y, okay, yeah. A growlery. Okay.
What does growlery mean?
What does growlery mean? While they're writing their answers, I'll explain how the scoring works. So you get 1 point if your fake answer is guessed by the other contestant and another point if you correctly guess the answer. By the way, I'm also playing as the house. Put in two of my own fake answers for each question with the help of the question writers, and I get a point for each one of these that the guests choose. So each of us can score up to 3 points per round, which seems pretty fair, but the probability actually favors me, the house. And the house always wins. That's why in the final round, the contestants get triple points and I don't. So it all evens out in the end. Anyway, our questions come from our great Patreon supporters. And if you want to submit a question, sign up on any level via patreon.com/dogonpod, which is linked in the show notes. All right, so the answer in. Let's go back to the first question. What does growlery mean? A collection of erotic guttural noises recorded by eccentric 1960s playboy John Brookhaven, housed at MoMA. A place you go to be alone when you're in a bad mood. The marks left on your skin after skidding or slipping on concrete, gravel or rough ground. A Victorian term for a large private exotic animal collection. Using topsoil to create art in the soil of gardens. Or it's a sexual place where people go to have their bum holes licked by a friendly man, like a sexual business.
I've done a couple of podcasts with Greg this week. See, the thing is,
I think we're going to know which one's Greg's up.
It's upset. Like, I've seen Greg around the traps, right? I've seen Greg around the traps for the last few years. But this last week, I've done a handful of podcasts with him. So I feel like I've gotten to know you quite well, Greg.
Yeah, yeah.
I just wanted to say that before we started officially playing.
Sure. One of those did seem to stick out a little more than the others.
Oh, you know, they're all pretty good answers. It's hard to say who wrote what and what wrote who.
I'm so glad it's a friendly man at the growlery.
Yeah.
Mm.
Who knows?
Who could it be? Yeah.
Was there any of those sticking out to you, Amy?
What was the Victorian one again?
Large private exotic animal collection.
Yeah, there was that or one other.
I'll go through them all quickly. Yeah, so you got the collection of erotic guttural noises recorded by a playboy. Place to go when you're in a bad mood.
I love that.
The marks left on your skin after skidding on concrete. Victorian term for an exotic animal collection. Use of topsoil to create art. The friendly man licking your bum hole. Oh, sorry, it's a sexual place you go.
Yeah, important to have a second part of that.
A sexual place where people go. Don't. Yeah.
To lick ass.
No,
to have their...
Oh, to have their ass licked. Oh, well, that changes everything.
Yeah,
I do love that one, and I do also love the private place to get grumpy or angry, whatever that was. But I like the Victorian animals.
Animals? Okay, yeah. Look that in for Amy. What about you, Greg?
Well, this bum hole. That definitely strikes me as, and I know a lot of trivia, so I feel like
that
could be it. So whoever picks that probably would win it.
Lots of points.
But I don't know if I'll pick it because I want to lose. what was the first one again? The Mona?
Collection of erotic noises collected by an eccentric playboy housed at MoMA.
I'm going to pick that one. I feel like that could be it. I hope it's it.
Okay.
I hope it's it so I can go. It sounds cool.
I want to know more about this.
Wait, did you say
Brookhaven?
MoMA?
MoMA.
So that's not Mona?
No.
It's a different one.
Yeah, I think it's the New York one.
Oh, okay.
Museum of... Modern art?
Yeah.
What's the
Metropolitan Museum of Art.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to say that one. That's the growlery.
You both have picked the two that I was tossing up with, but I was leaning towards MoMA. Only because of the level of detail. Introducing someone's name. Or maybe Matt Stewart's just gotten real good at this.
Yeah, I mean, John Brookhaven, that's... No one could come up with that. That must... That's either a real person or nothing at all.
I'll go with MoMA.
All right.
It does feel like the other one had a lot of specific detail with the sexual place. Whoever wrote that.
Yeah.
There was a lot of detail in there and it was specific and it was like quite well thought out.
It's almost like it was the friendly man who wrote that.
I think if it had had a name in it, I would have picked
just
it. That was the only
small business.
Only issue.
I gotta get a leg up. It's hard being a small business owner. Nobody wants to go. I can't get anyone to come.
We had interest before COVID.
Yeah,
we had interest.
It's just COVID hit it, ruined my business.
And I stuck it out because people told me it would be worth it at the end.
Jesus. We're right next to all the offices. No one's going to the offices anymore. Just there's no foot traffic.
Open back up.
Well, this is who wrote the answers. This one may surprise you. The one about the friendly man with the sexual place. That was Greg.
No.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
crazy.
I'm a human chameleon, they call me. You can never guess what.
The marks left on your skin after skidding or slipping. That was Mish.
Nice. Mm.
Thanks.
Using topsoil to create art in the soil of gardens. That was Amy.
Mm. No attention on that one. Just really glossed.
It was the same with mine. It hurt. It
is a Victorian hurtful. Term for a large private exotic animal collection. That was Kayla, aka The House.
Ooh.
Kayla also wrote the one about John Brookhaven, the eccentric playboy.
No.
Meaning the correct answer is a place you go to be alone when you're in a bad mood.
You felt like you were...
I know, I felt like I needed that.
Oh, wow.
Devastating.
That seemed like a fake answer to me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That seemed like a funny one.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm going
answer.
To the growlery.
I'm going to have a growl in the growlery. Wow.
A special mind place you go. Well, I'm yeah. in the growlery now.
I am absolutely going to bring that into my rotation. Yeah. Like whenever I'm in a bad mood, yeah. I'm doing the dishes or something's broken, I'm going to go, I'm going to the growlery. And then just go into a little room.
That means all 3 points in the first round go to The House.
Dang.
Fuck Greg, you did say that this could be the house's
it.
Day.
I jinxed it.
Thanks, Greg.
Thanks a lot, Greg.
The next one comes from Dave Warnicky, who's a regular guest on the show. And his question is, what is the nickname of the Who bass player, John Entwistle? What is the nickname of the Who's bass player, John Entwistle? Well, you're writing your answers. Here's some more info on the word growlery. According to Wayward Radio, which is a podcast about words, Charles Dickens is credited with the first known use of the term growlery to mean a person's private sitting room or a place to retreat when one is in a bad mood. Long before that, the French were using the term boudoir for something similar. Apparently, boudoir comes from Bouda, which means to sulk. So I always think of boudoir as being like a way to describe a bedroom in a much sexier way. Going to the boudoir. But apparently it's not. It's a place to sulk.
Yeah. What? Shall you come to the boudoir for growl?
How do I get to the boudoir? Well, go through the growlery.
Mm. There's a man in there. He's really upset.
He's friendly, but he is upset.
Combine those two things. It's a place you go when you're stressed and angry to unwind by having a friendly man.
All right, the answers are in for question number two. What's the nickname of the Who's bass player, John Entwistle? Uncle Knuckles, Boombox, Brains, Thunderfingers, Balls McFartney, or Plump Daniel?
What was the last one?
Plump Daniel.
I love that.
That's fun. I've got my guess for Greg's.
What was the second last one?
Balls McFartney.
Balls McFartney?
Oh, like Paul McCartney. No, that's actually quite clever. Maybe Greg didn't write
that. Let's not get carried away.
Okay, I will accept a lot, but my comedy not being clever? No,
absolutely
I'm sorry.
Not.
I'm sorry. It's very clever.
It really
what
is, Greg.
What I do is extremely clever.
I remember I went and saw your show in Sydney, and during festivals, I normally go to shows that have been people talk about how great they are, and I go, I'm like, oh, this is pretty good.
Why you've never been to one of my shows.
We always clash. We always clash. But normally I go, this is pretty good, but I don't feel intimidated by this. But I went and saw your show in Sydney. I'm like, I don't know. I can't fucking do comedy. It's so fucking good.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Oh, that's
yeah.
nice.
That is nice. I'm wondering which show it was. I don't think I've ever done a show that good.
Uncle Knuckles, Boombox, Brains, Thunderfingers, Balls McFartney, or Plump Daniel. Do you want to have a go, Greg?
I do. And I'm going to say, and I'm genuinely saying this, this isn't like a joke answer. I reckon they might have, like, it might be Balls McFartney. I reckon it might be Balls McFarney. I reckon that they have come up with a silly name for him. Like, the Who are English, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like
funny.
An English.
Yeah, they're a bit funny.
The English are all funny.
Yeah, they're all a bit funny, eh?
And that is funny, isn't it? Balls McFarney is
really funny.
Yeah,
Balls McFarney
and it's is clever.
Funny. Yeah. You're on the road for hours on end. Yeah. Come on, you've got to do something to give yourself a laugh.
I genuinely reckon that could be the answer. Same. I'm going to say Balls McFarney.
Right,
my biggest concern is now that you've picked it, it's not yours. So it does.
Or he's throwing us off.
Ooh, he's going to do a light change.
I'm taking a dive.
Yeah. I reckon it's either. I honestly, Balls McFarney, even if that isn't right, whoever came up with that deserves the point because it is very funny. It was maybe. Oh, like Thunderfingers is so obvious.
Mm.
But maybe that's the beauty of it. Boombox sucks. No offense. All right.
And so when you don't know who's written them and you're throwing out abuse.
Yeah, I know. I realized after I said that. I'm so sorry.
So it's very dangerous as well because the worst, like everyone in the room can handle it, but the worst thing would be it was a Dave Warnocky answer. Oh, and you're like, actually, Dave would be fine. But
yeah, I think he wouldn't mind. What's the last one again? I'm so sorry.
Plump Daniel.
Plump Daniel.
I really like Plump Daniel.
Got a very English humor about it as well.
Yeah, I'm... Okay, we'll go the last one, even though we'll go the last one.
Plump Daniel for Mish. That leaves you, Amy.
Yeah, Balls McFartney is very funny. But for the sake of difference, I'm going to go Uncle Knuckles.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
I liked Uncle Knuckles.
Yeah, there's something to that.
All right. Well, this is who wrote the answers. Boombox, which Mish really hated, was Mish.
Okay, yeah. No, it's fair. You can all say now.
Brains was Amy. Uncle Knuckles, which Amy went for, that was the house. Plump Daniel, which Mish went for. No. That was Greg.
Oh, yes. Hey.
Balls McFartney, which Greg went for. That was the house.
Oh, no. Well done, the house.
Correct answer was Thunderfingers.
No.
You were so close to...
Yeah.
Bugger.
So, all of ours were better.
Yeah, that's right. Thunder, it's funny. Sometimes they sound great, but they can't. That's never going to stand up against... You guys coming up with fake ones? Thunderfingers.
This game fucks with you because you're like, if it's a reasonable answer, you're like, well, it can't be that one.
Yeah.
Like,
Yes. I'm in your heads.
I'm in your mind.
So after two rounds, it's Mish and Amy yet to score. Gregor 1 point, but out in front of the house on 5 points.
Jesus. It's ridiculous how many points you give yourself in this game.
Yeah.
That's bullshit. That's actual bullshit. You have set this game up so that you... are on top always.
Yeah, who's auditing this?
All right.
In fairness, if this was my podcast, I'd do the same.
I mean, let me just quickly go back through the scores of the previous times you've been on.
No, that's all right.
First time you're on, the house had 1 point in the whole game.
Yeah, was that when I was on with Zach?
You got 7, Zach got 10.
Wow, that's huge.
Yeah, it was massive.
Then the next time you're on, the house came dead last again with 5. I'm already, after two rounds, I've almost got what I had in every other time you're on.
Okay, that's fair.
Brag.
Okay.
All right, I get what you're saying, Matt. Don't come for Big Wet.
All I took away from that was when you said Zach got 10, I went, there's 10 questions at least?
No.
I was like, oh, man.
Because you can get 3 points per round.
Yeah.
There's 7. There's 7.
Yeah, we have hours to go.
All right, question number 3. This comes from Joff from Colac. And the question is...
Joff?
Joff, yeah.
Joff.
Not a name.
Wow. Sorry, Joff, shots fired,
fix
Joff.
Your name.
Your parents lied to you, Joff.
The question is, what is the name of Howard the Duck's arch nemesis and what is their power? So Howard the Duck's a Marvel. Yeah. Oh, do you know the answer?
Yeah.
Would you just...
Well, no, I don't, but if I heard it, I would know it.
Okay. Well, you still give us a fake answer.
Okay.
And you've already... Well, you can answer last, but normally just don't say anything.
Okay.
Because then now they'll know to copy
you. No, but I might not, actually. I didn't realise Howard the Duck was Marvel.
Mm.
I thought Howard the Duck was a shit film, isn't it?
It was like one of the first Marvel films, I think.
One of the best Marvel films I've ever... The only Marvel film I think is worth watching.
Yeah,
have you seen it? So you know this as well?
I love Howard the Duck. I have no idea. I don't know the answer, though. All I remember was there was a movie where there was a duck that came from a planet where everyone was ducks. And then a woman, like, like fully kissed him and I think had sex with him.
Yeah, and she was like a famous actor, wasn't she? It was like Elizabeth Shue or something like that. While they're writing their answers, according to Base Asylum, John Entwistle was born in 1944 in England. He's best known as the founder and member of The Who. He's a bass guitar virtuoso, producer, composer, artist, sound engineer, and owner of quite strong fingers. He's known as Thunderfingers and the Ox. He's known as the Ox due to his dense physique. Oh, man. It's so close to it. What did you say? What did you call him, Greg?
What did I call what?
Plump Daniel. He's also known as the Ox because of his dense physique.
Oh. Who is this?
John Entwistle. There is two nicknames, Thunderfingers and the Ox.
Because he's dense. Yeah, Plump Daniel.
I think you were right on the money there.
Yeah.
And apparently, he could just eat and drink a lot. And got Thunderfingers because of, how he played the bass.
That's crazy.
Is that surprising?
That's shocks me.
I think that
shocks me to the core.
I reckon, because you said it yourself, that The Who probably are really funny.
Mm.
And that's why they came up with a funny nickname like that.
Yeah.
Look at his fingers. They're real fast. Almost like thunder.
Thunder fingers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still don't know if you're fully getting it, but it is.
Like, I get it. I do get it.
Okay, the time is precious, man. Yeah.
All right. The answer in for question number three. And, what have I done?
So both of you have seen this film.
I've seen it too, but not for so. I couldn't tell you anything about it.
I would like it on the record. I absolutely have not. So if there's one answer that feels like an outlier, it's probably going to be mine.
Amy, you simply must.
I can honestly say I've seen Howard the Duck, and what I know about it is there's a duck called Howard.
Mm.
That's huge.
Like literally about the extent of it.
Yeah, I don't remember the film at all.
Okay.
And I do, was it George Lucas that directed it?
I think it was something like that.
Wow.
Because I swear to God... I remember seeing a thing that was like, whoever the director was saying like, if I could destroy every tape of this, I would like,
right.
I would do anything in my power to make this movie just disappear and never exist again.
Mm.
It was directed by Willard Hayek. Oh. Maybe that was a career.
So not quite George Lucas.
But he might have been a producer or something.
Lucas? Was it Lucasfilm?
He was a producer. Yeah.
He was a producer. Okay.
So, yeah, that means he funded it, right? So, All right. Here is question three. What is the name of Howard the Duck's arch nemesis and what is their power? Freddy Funtimes. he doesn't mean to be, but he's just a bad influence on people. They always end up partying too hard when Freddy's around. Raymond can eat and drink endlessly and is never full or tired after.
Ooh.
Raymond. The baker. Makes various kinds of bread that have a range of negative effects on ducks. Dr. Bong wears a helmet shaped like a bell and has a large metal ball instead of a hand. And when he strikes a helmet with his ball hand, he can paralyze his enemies. Gavin Squirt. His superpower is magic spells. Or Senator Burton. He had the power to render animals completely unlovable.
Oh.
So you got...
All of these answers
so
are
sad.
Weird.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's a really sad one.
That's the worst power of them all.
I don't love this animal anymore.
So you got Freddy Funtimes, Raymond, the baker, Dr. Bong, Gavin Squirt...
Dr. Bong.
Or Senator Burton. Mish, I think you haven't... Oh, do you want to go...
Do you want me to go... I know the answer.
Don't go first.
Yes, go first.
Oh, yeah, no. Yes.
We can take down the house.
It is your turn to go first, but...
going first. No chance. They'll just... No, I'm going to win.
Okay. Okay, well, you'll have to go first the next...
Okay, that's fine, yeah.
Well, we see where you've positioned yourself, Mish. I think the ones that stand out to me... is Dr. Bong and Senator
Burton.
Senator Burton, the sad pets.
Mm.
But I think it had so much detail, the Dr. Bong.
Dr. Bong?
Yeah.
All right, lucky in Dr. Bong for Amy. What are you thinking, Greg?
What was the first one again? Freddy
Funtimes.
And what was his superpower?
He just parties too hard.
Parties too hard.
He's a bad influence on people.
See, it's hard because Howard the Duck is a duck.
Mm.
And he's called Howard the Duck and he's from a planet where they're all ducks.
Yeah.
So the answer is going to be silly.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
And so it could be any of them.
Yeah.
I also think it's Dr. Bong.
Yep.
I think the specifics, I think the fact that it's called Dr. Bong, I reckon that's the one.
Yeah. All right, lock that in. All right, Mish, what do you want to lock in?
I'll be locking in Dr. Bong. Oh,
we didn't even need you!
Dr. Bong!
Yeah. Wow! The goods.
That I was, feel good!
I'm so glad it went that way, so they got to have the point for themselves.
Yeah. Yes!
Yeah.
That's now, the reason I know that is not because of the movie. I have seen the movie. But I knew a guy who had a bong. It was, he goes, but I, he was like, it had, like, it was Dr. Bong was the name of his bong. Mm. And he's asking, have you seen Howard the Duck? And I was like, no, that's how I remembered that. I was like, it has something to do with a bong. And that, I couldn't remember exactly. And then when you said it, I was like, there it is.
It shocks me that someone that smokes a lot of weed would have watched Howard the Duck.
Yeah, blows your mind, doesn't it?
Have you seen Howard the Duck, man? Fuck, I want to watch it again, dude. Dr. Bong.
All right, well, we'll quickly go through who wrote the answers. Freddy Fun Times, that was the house, as was the baker. Raymond,
I liked the baker one.
Baker, bit of fun.
I liked Raymond.
I think.
Raymond, that was Amy.
It's
Raymond.
Just my dream, if you had to do that.
Gavin Squirt, that was Greg. It does sound like a role you might have played at some point.
Yeah, it's a new character I'm working on. Yeah.
That could stick as your nickname. Big Wet and Gavin Squirt. Gavin
Squirt. Let's make it happen.
Gavin Squirt.
G-Squirt.
Oh, okay.
True.
No, that's good. That's G-squirt good. I reckon that's good.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I like G-Squirt.
Let's not talk about it too much. Let's just put it out there.
Oh, G-squirt. Good. I'm happy.
No, I wanted the nickname.
Yours is coming. We'll find it.
And finally, we got Senator Burt, and that was Mish.
That was good.
That was a dark one, Mish.
That was a good
sad
one.
Person.
I have feelings. That was my close second choice. Yeah, that was my second choice.
Yeah, no one could make up it. Senator.
Fuck.
Yeah.
All right, so that
damn
means
it, Dr. Bong.
Dr. Bong wings again.
A point there for Mish, Amy and Greg, meaning now the scores are Mish and Amy on 1 point. Greg on 2 points. House still out in front on 5 points. Ugh. Here's question four. What did baseball manager Bobby Valentine do after umpires ejected him from a game on the 9th of June 1999? What did baseball manager Bobby Valentine do after umpires ejected him from the game on the 9th of June 1999? While you're writing your answers, here's a bit more info about Dr. Bong. His real name apparently is Lester Verde. According to villains.fandom. And he's a supervillain in the Marvel comics, the main antagonist of Howard the Duck. And by striking the ball against his helmet, he creates sonic vibrations, which can produce a wide variety of effects. The vibrations can, for example, have concussive force, can paralyze a living being temporarily, or create a nearly impenetrable sonic barrier, or even teleport. All right, while you're still writing your answers, let's go for a quick break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, we're back. And the answer in his question four. What did baseball manager Bobby Valentine do after umpires ejected him from a game on the 9th of June 1999? He consumed 23 hot dogs from a cart outside the stadium, causing his stomach to perforate and ultimately killing him. He dug home plate out of the ground and took it home with him so the game couldn't continue. He snuck onto the pitch at 2:36 a.m. and defecated on the scoreboard, only to be caught by security and forced to make a public apology the following morning. Jeez, none of these are great for him so far. He gave the umpires the kiss of death. The umpire was later found swimming with the fishes.
he killed someone?
Swimming with the fishes? Usually the term is sleeping with the fishes.
But he was having a swim with him.
He was about swimming.
So he was fine.
He was fine. He was fine. I went swimming.
Okay, you can do that.
I went on holiday once. I swam with the fishes. It was really nice.
People pay to swim with fishes. Pay
money. What a nice day for him. He did have a kissy. He had a lovely little kissy. And then went for a swim. That's a lovely evening.
That's a good day.
That's a wonderful day for me. You get a little kissy and then you go for a nice swim.
What's a little kissy and a swimmy? Kissy and a swimmy.
Oh, that's very funny.
He was late about swimming. Hey, Bobby. Hey. Come on in.
I had the afternoon off.
Yeah.
Didn't have to work, so. It
sounds like a healthy way to have dealt with that blow from the umpires.
Yeah, exactly.
Two more options. He put on a disguise of a fake mustache and sunglasses and tried to come back to the bench. Or he became an adult baby. An adult baby is a person who's a full big baby. Sometimes it is sexual, but it is also something people do to de-stress and go back to a simple way of life. For Bobby Valentine, it was both a way to de-stress and fulfill sexual desires by having his mummy and daddy change his nappies. But they all loved it, so it was all good, and they were all happy.
Oh, that's so funny, Greg.
What do you mean? What do you... Are you just telling me that's a funny thing? I mean, yeah, cool.
The three of us are weeping and you are sitting there so
and you're just going like, yes.
Yes, well, you did. I'm just thinking about whether or not that's the correct answer or not. That's all good answers and they could be any, it could be any
that's
one of
great.
Them.
That's great. That was so good. How good are adult babies, man? There are some really good short docos. Yeah, you can watch. Have you
I
seen
love
them
adult babies. Yeah. Yeah, I love adult babies. I love adult babies. Can't get enough.
Okay, so Mish, you got first crack here. You got died from overeating hot dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Meant the game couldn't be played because he took the home plate. I defecated on the scoreboard but was caught and had to apologise. Gave the umpire a kiss of death and was found swimming with the fishes. Put on a disguise, fake mustache and sunnies, went back to the bed. Or became an adult baby. I could explain what that is, but I think... An adult baby is a person.
Believe me, I understand what an adult baby is.
I was glad for the explainer. I thought that was kind of what it was, but it was good
to have
a paragraph. It's
nice to be sure,
yeah. You never know.
I love the moustache one. I think that is great.
Mm.
I think the home plate one, like that makes sense, but also wouldn't they just play? They'd just replace the plate. You
think
know what I mean?
Like, have a spare.
Like, yeah. What was the first one again? I'm so sorry.
First one was he consumed 23 hot dogs from a cart outside the stadium.
Nah. That didn't happen. No.
So swimming.
Maybe the shit one. No, it's not the swimming one. Maybe the shit one. No, home base. We're going to go home base.
Home base?
Yes.
You talked away out and back into that one?
Yep, I'm going with the home base got stolen.
Alright, no worries. Amy, what do you think?
See, I was thinking home base and then y'all talked me out of it, being like, oh, they could just replace it.
Yeah, surely there'd be a spare in the...
You would think. But if you dug it out...
Right.
But it was 1990. I was thinking if it's in the 30s, you dig something out, there's a hole, your whole life's over. Like, what are you going to do?
I feel like that was a time where holes were... That was,
holes
they
were
knew
killer.
What holes...
Yeah.
Were.
They knew all about holes.
Yeah, I know, but it would be a bigger deal. In 19...
What is this?
There was... Well, there was there and there now it's not.
Why is there a dip in the ground? I'm going to blow this story wide open.
I'm going to go swim with some fishes.
We got to beat the Kaiser. We can't beat the Kaiser with it. We got holes in the ground.
That's where he ended up. No, he's not the Kaiser, was it? That was Hitler.
Yeah, that's true.
Damn, it was almost...
He was the Führer.
The Führer.
Mm.
If it's not home base, I think it's shit. But I'm... home base.
You've already answered though.
Okay.
So what are you locking in?
Home base.
Your home base.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then I'll take defecation.
Okay. Locking that in for Amy. That leaves you, Greg.
I feel like there's one of them being discounted just out of hand that like doesn't necessarily people. Anyway, obviously the adult baby one is good, but I think it... I'm going to go with one that I think is silly, but also I want it to be true. The hot dogs.
Yeah, hot dogs, great.
Because I love the idea of an angry man going, fuck this. Fuck this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Eating 23 hot dogs and dying from just rage.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can relate.
Bobby, what are you doing?
You gotta stop, Bobby.
I can't stop.
I ain't stopping until I hit 24.
All right, well, let's go through who wrote the answers. He gave the umpire the kiss of death and was swimming with the fish. That was the house.
No shit, really?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that is... I'm glad you pulled that apart.
swimming with the fishes.
It's like, oh, thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Don. the Don comes and takes you... Yeah, thanks, Fredo.
It changes the ending of Godfather 2 in a big way. It's just like Fredo just went for a nice swim in the lake.
Yeah.
And it's like, and then he's back.
I 100% just watched the Godfather trilogy. That's why I'm so down with the lingo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Becoming an adult baby. Mm. That was Greg.
No.
It was me. Yeah. After all. Surprise.
Amy, you went for the one about defecating on the scoreboard. That was Mish. You fell into a classic Mish
big wet trap.
Wow. big wet slips again.
You slipped up on Big Wet's trap. Greg, you went for consuming the hot dogs. That was Amy.
Yes.
Oh. I was another very close to getting taking that one.
Mish, you went for digging out home plate. That was Chris, aka the house.
Oh, well done, Chris.
Meaning the correct answer. One of you was so close to picking it. Fake mustache and sunglasses.
Wow.
That's the real answer.
That's a real one.
Oh, wow. I love that.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's
There's
cool.
footage
Honestly,
of it.
Well done, Bobby.
There's footage of it.
Yeah, wow. And the commentators pick it instantly. They're like, what's it doing?
I gotta
oh,
see
I love
this.
That.
I gotta see
No, it. It's not me. No.
So funny. Oh,
that's so funny. Good.
Mm. So that means point to Amy, point to the house, and a point to Mish. Mm. Here is question number 5. Comes from three different people wrote this one in. Michael Nielsen from Signet in Tasmania, Betsy from California, and Josh Harmon from Garland, Texas. And the question is, what jazz song did British band leader Harry Roy and his Bat Club Boys release in 1931? Just need a name of a song.
Harry
Roy and his Bat Club Boys.
His Bat Club Boys.
It's a wild name, but yeah, just need the name of the song. And from 1931. While you're writing those answers, here's a little more info on the fake Mo incident. According to the MLB website, after being sent off, Valentine revamped his look with a hat and sunglasses, though he was skeptical about the spectacles considering it was a night game. But the piece de resistance was the two pieces of eye black tape that he applied to his upper lip, giving him a Hercule Poirot-style mustache. He looked to his coaching partners and they said, no one will ever know, apparently. Well, he was wrong about that. Cameras in the dugout caught him almost immediately, in part because one of his teammates was meant to block him, but didn't quite stand in the right spot. And announcers could be heard laughing at the sight on the broadcast, saying, that is not Groucho Marx. That would be the manager of the New York Mets. The jig was up. The skipper, who thought he was slick, had been out-sleuthed. When asked about the disguise after, Valentine tried to deny it, saying, it was somebody else who didn't even look like me. But he's since come to embrace the moment, apparently. It's one of his most famous moments, even though we made it to a World Series one year. The answer for question number 5, what jazz song did British band leader Harry Roy and his Bat Club Boys release in 1931? Bat Club, Bat Boys, Back in the Boy Club? My Girl's Pussy?
Jesus.
Bing Bong Bobby Beat My Breasts? Swing Town Cash? I Crash My Car Harder Than the Stock Market? Or Cannibalism Gets a Bad Rap?
Ooh.
It's a bit to unpack.
Mm.
Can I just lock in Pussy?
Sure can.
Is that cool if you guys don't mind if I just jump mm-hmm. a queue there? Mm-hmm. I'm going to lock in Pussy.
Great.
Mm. Only because this is my theory. Three people suggested this question.
Mm.
And that is the kind of answer to a question that would make three people go, I've got to let Matt Stewart know about this pussy thing.
I want to know how they, like, are they in a little group about this pod?
The first one suggested it a couple of years ago, and the other two just all both suggested it at the same time a couple of weeks ago.
So they've individually all did.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they together were like, let's send one email.
No, they all just individually did. And I think because two did it about the same time. I'm like, has it gone viral recently or something? I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So I think it's your go, Greg.
I am also going to say My Girl's Pussy.
Okay.
Yeah, I reckon that's a winner.
Mm.
I reckon straight up winner.
Yeah. And you know, you like all kinds of music.
I like all kinds of music.
I'm going to go something different then. What was the bing bang bong blah, blah,
blah? There's a lot bing, of bees. Bing bong Bobby beat my breasts.
Did you say that as an answer before?
Yeah.
I must have really tuned out when you said that.
You literally just said pussy.
I did come just after pussy. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah,
I was like,
oh. Yeah, I'm going to go with the breasts. I'm a breast gal.
All right. Looking at the breasts for
me, Amy. I like pussy.
I got to tell you.
I'm more of like a pussy kind of girl.
I got to say something here. I love pussy.
All right. Here's the answers. Cannibalism gets a bad rap. That was Josh. Okay, the house. Crash My Car Harder Than the Stock Market, that was Michael, okay, the house. Swingtown Cash, that was Amy. Bat Club, Bat Boys, Back in the Boy Club, that was great. Bing Bong, Bobby Beat My Breasts, that was Mish. I mean, the correct answer is My Girl's Pussy.
Yes!
As soon as you said the answer, yeah. I didn't know the band name, but I knew that song.
Right.
I know that song.
Yeah, I think I've just...
My Girl's... You know My Girl's Pussy?
Is it like, My Girl's Pussy?
Yeah.
Is that kind of thing?
Sort of. It's... But the reason I know the song, and I can't talk about this movie highly enough, the movie Babylon. Have you ever seen Babylon?
Oh, yeah. Yes. I've seen Babylon.
Oh, it's...
Was it in that?
It's sung at the very beginning. I'm sure that would be it. It'd be some coincidence if there was another
Wait,
My Girl's
Babylon,
Pussy song.
That movie that came out like last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I hated that film.
Really?
Hated.
I reckon that was one of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
I reckon that's in my top five.
You think opera's long? That film was two and a half hours too long.
I loved it. Every second. Anyway, but when I watched it on a plane.
Oh, come on. There we go.
Emirates. And they cut out, so like when she came out and she sings a song, she goes, "There's one thing I love," and then like,
yes, that's, and then I'm suddenly, sure that's it.
And then suddenly it just, everyone goes, "Yay!"
Because that
I'm like, what did she love? What was she about to sing about?
I'm so interested in that.
And then I watched the movie. I watched the movie.
It's meant to be really. I thought it was critically panned, right?
Babylon.
It's like I reckon based on the reviews I saw, it was like some people are in my camp of going, it's the best, and other people. It's like other people are like, this is the fucking worst movie.
I hated it.
I watched it on the plane and then I immediately got home and watched it again.
Wow.
Second time.
To find out
that's
what she
bizarre,
loved.
Yeah.
And what a lovely treat to find out she loved pussy.
Yeah, it was like, so good.
What did she love? You wait months. I'm assuming heading overseas for this job of a lifetime. Mm. You come back, it's like, what does she love? And then to find out it's pussy, what a delightful treat.
It was on the way back. So it was like literally, it was like the next day I watched it again. I just rewatched it straight away.
Oh, I'm glad because it looked like the kind of movie I'd really enjoy.
It should be good, but it's simply too long.
Oh, it's all simply too long. I hated it.
I reckon it's just long enough.
All right, after five rounds, scores are Amy on 2, Greg on 3, Mish on 4, the house still just down front on 6. Here's the second last question. It comes from Nick Dennis from Edders in Pennsylvania. As a way of keeping their bees happy, what did Western Europeans do in the 18th and 19th centuries? There's a way of keeping their bees happy. What did Western Europeans do in the 18th and 19th centuries? While you're writing your answers, here's some of the lyrics for My Girl's Pussy. There's one pet...
Well, I can't write my answer now. Go on.
There's one pet I like to pet, and every evening we get set. I stroke it every chance I get. Oh my it's God. My Girl's Pussy. Seldom plays and never purrs, and I love the thoughts it stirs. But I don't mind because it's hers, my girl's pussy. Often it goes out at night, returns at break of dawn. No matter what the weather's like, it's always nice and warm. It's never dirty, always clean. It's giving thrills, never mean. But it's the best I've ever seen. It's my girl's pussy. It's, it got banned on the BBC, apparently.
Got banned? Really? In the 30s, they were like, oh, that's a bit...
Yeah, I mean, it's... You just... Like, well, there's so many old songs that are just very thin innuendos.
I don't think that was a thin innuendo as much as it was an explicit description.
Thin innuendo about stroking your Mrs. Vag. Just a thin innuendo about how much I love.
I mean,
just grabbing hold of that tight mutt.
Grabbing hold of
classic big wet line there. Yeah.
But it's nicely thinly veiled, quite romantic.
No, really. You know, it wasn't until that I read that it was bound. I'm like, how come? Oh, some people took it that way. Interesting. All right, the answer in for question number 6. As a way of keeping their bees happy, what did Western Europeans do in the 18th and 19th centuries? They built their beehives so they resembled miniature versions of their homesteads.
Hmm.
They watered the flowers with a water/whiskey concoction that was believed to relax the bees and encourage them encourage more vomit from them, resulting in almost 40% more honey. They brought the beehives inside for Sunday lunches and left the best piece of the roast for the bees to eat. They defecated in the soil surrounding the hives to make the flowers more flavorful for the bees.
Oh my god.
They would notify the bees of about any major events in their lives, including births, deaths, and marriages. or they showed them pornos.
Honestly, strong round, everybody.
Whoever wrote whatever, love.
Oh.
Oh, that was magic.
What's crazy is one of them is true.
Right. Yeah.
One of those things is true.
Yeah. Quickly go through them again. I think we might be back to you, Mish. So they build their beehives so they look like their houses. Gave them a water whiskey concoction, which produced 40% more honey. They brought them in for Sunday lunches, giving them the best piece of the roast.
Whoever wrote that.
They defecated in the soil, leading to more flavorful flowers. They notified the bees of any major events in their lives, or they showed them pornos.
Oh, my God. All of those things would relax me and make me happy. A bit of whiskey and taking a big shit and watching porn.
Sunday roast.
Sunday roast. Yum, yum. I'll go with poo flowers.
Okay. Look at that.
That seems like something fucked up that a farmer would do.
I'll take the whiskey bees.
Whiskey bees.
Whiskey bees. Whiskey beesness, if you know what I mean.
That is comedy.
Oh god.
That is how you do comedy.
And if you want 50 minutes of that good stuff, book tickets to my show.
Geez, I don't know. I was gonna say the whiskey one. I'm gonna say the whiskey one.
Alright.
The whiskey one. I don't know if it's true, but the others are all silly. They're all the whiskey one. Lock in the whiskey one, Eddie.
It's Matt.
Yeah, I know. It's a joke about who wants to be a millionaire.
Mm. Oh, I'm not familiar with it.
Free to air TV really is dead, isn't it, everyone?
Okay, here's the answers. They showed them pornos. That was Greg.
No way.
I wish I'd written the beef one.
Yeah, I really thought Sunday roast was one. You.
They built their beehives so they resembled miniature versions of their homesteads. It was the house, as was the Sunday roast one.
Wow.
High praise from you there, Greg. Defecated in the soil surrounding the hives. Mish went for that. That was Amy.
Thank you. Very good.
Amy and Greg went for the whiskey water concoction. That was Mish.
No.
Oh, damn it.
Meaning
the dates?
The correct answer was they would notify the bees about any major events in their lives.
What?
Including births, deaths, and marriages.
I thought that was you. I was that's surely Amy.
That was
that's
one
so
that I was like,
stupid.
That has to be a joke.
It must be Amy. That really dumb answer. I reckon that's that stupid blonde broad down there.
I got my nickname.
Stupid dumb bitch.
That's so stupid.
That is so stupid.
Yeah.
That is stupid.
Yeah.
And what century did you say this was?
18th and 19th. But apparently they did it for the Queen after the Queen died.
Mm.
The beekeeper for the Queen went and
I thought you meant the literal Queen of England.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Wait, the literal Queen of England, the beekeeper for her last year or whenever it was, the year before, went around and knocked on the thing saying, just letting you know, bees. your master is dead, but the new master's going to be good too.
That's
so look after him, please.
That's fully insane.
Isn't it? It is.
Wow.
It's interesting.
God, I love the Commonwealth.
Pornos is about like that level of insane. Do you know what I mean? Like showing them erotic fiction and announcing death. I think it almost makes
more sense.
Pornos makes more sense. Yeah. It does. Every single one of those makes more sense than the like the important events.
Yeah.
It's your brother's birthday.
Wow. So strange.
And here's some BDSM.
So on to the final round. Scores have tightened up a little bit with one round to go. Greg and Amy on 3 points, but out in front on 6 points, it's Mission the House. But the final round is worth triple points for you three, so it's still truly anyone's game. Wow. This is your longest answer, Greg. This is a movie synopsis round. So normally write 3 or 4 sentences about. This one comes from Ben Bruflat from Cumberland Gap in Tennessee. And if Mish or any of you know the answer, don't give it away till later, otherwise, you know. This is a pretty new movie. It's from 2023. What is the synopsis of the film Spaghetti? While your answers are being written, here's some more info about the tradition, which is called telling the bees. According to jstor.org, this practice of telling the bees may have its origins in Celtic mythology, where the presence of a bee after death signified the soul leaving the body. But the tradition appears to have been most prominent in the 18th and 19th centuries in Western Europe and also the United States. The ritual involves notifying honeybees of major events in the beekeeper's life, such as death or marriage. While the traditions varied from country to country, telling the bees always involved notifying the insects of a death in the family so that the bees could share in the mourning. This generally entailed draping each hive with a black crepe or some other shred of black, and it was required that the sad news be delivered to each hive individually by knocking once and then verbally relaying the tale of sorrow. But like I was saying, the tradition is still around, apparently. After Queen Elizabeth II died, the palace beekeeper, John Chappell, travelled to 2 separate queen residences that had beehives to let the bees know about the sad news that their owner was now King Charles. All right, the answer in for the final question. What is the synopsis of the 2023 film Spaghetti? George's grandma has 1 week left before she is moved to an assisted living facility, and there's no way Georgia isn't giving her the best week of her life. But things take a turn in Florida when Georgia loses Grammy Pearl after the lunch. Will it be a week to remember or a time Georgia will be dying to forget? Alan Butcher is an aspiring chef born with a silver spoon in his mouth. When he relocates to scenic Orvieto, Italy, to shadow esteemed pasta chef Thomas, Alan quickly realizes that his pampered lifestyle did nothing to prepare him for the real world. Will he learn something about himself along the way to chef stardom, or will he pack his fancy bags and return to the life he knows? Two brothers decide they are going to start a business selling homemade spaghetti to local restaurants. Things turn south when John, the older brother, finds a dead body in the dumpster behind the local Italian restaurant. John and his brother Sean then have to navigate through a web of deceit when the FBI and the mafia trying to put them away for good. In the end, John and Sean defeat the gangsters and shoot the FBI, and then they have a big cocaine party and they kiss and realize that even though they are brothers, they love each other, and there's a full sex scene, and the cops come in, but they actually just let it happen. One of the cops says, "Damn, these brothers are steady."
Sorry, what was that? You laughing?
You have to finish what it was. I've got to get to the end before I did make my decision.
One of the cops says, "Damn, these brothers are steady fucking," and everyone laughs. And the movie ends with a big explosion, and it says "Spaghetti for life."
Oh fuck yeah!
There was a part in there earlier where I reckon I feel like Mish was like,
"I'm on board for this. Is the kind of movie I would watch." I was like, yeah, I'm on board. And it ended with me going, I have to see this.
I hope that's the movie. That's a really interesting plot.
Steady fucking is such a good phrase.
Also love that that's included in the synopsis to get some of the dialogue. Yeah, like you really get a sense of the tone.
100%.
And you got to imagine, like, how good is this movie that they can spoil the ending, but you're still like,
still
gonna
see it.
Still gonna
see that. Yeah.
I gotta see
it. You don't know how it gets to that.
100%.
The journey. All right, so they're your first three options. Then you got 14 high school students in Nebraska, led by beautiful, popular blonde bombshell Shannon, played by Bianca Bosch, go on a school trip to Italy with their mysterious but charming Italian teacher, Draco Bongiovanni, played by Oliver Martinez. As the students mysteriously go missing, it becomes clear to the remaining teens that Mr. Bongiovanni has other motives for bringing them to Rome other than education. He manages an elite Italian restaurant where the students are chosen by rich men to be killed and served to them in various Italian dishes.
Ooh.
You got Nurse Lena Simon seems to have found the perfect man in savvy businessman Scotty Sharp. But when she suspects him of seeing someone else, she takes the unusual advice of her best friend Tony and does a voodoo spell on him.
Tony! Just do a voodoo spell.
Tony's sitting in a garage somewhere chugging on Dr. Bong.
What should I do?
I reckon a voodoo spell, mate. Have you heard of those? They're dangerous.
Every piece of advice you give me is a voodoo spell. Is there something practical I can use? No, I'm telling you, this is the one.
It'll work this time.
This is the one.
Well, finally, a crisis of faith leaves young Michelle seeking answers, leading her to a mysterious street preacher. The preacher's message of a flying spaghetti monster watching over the universe is quickly dismissed by onlookers, but Michelle's curiosity gets the better of her. In this ahead of its time black comedy, some questions are better left unanswered. Okay, so you've got the grandma with the lunch that takes a turn.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the aspiring chef with the silver spoon in his mouth. Mm-hmm. You got the two brothers.
Steady fucking.
Start, well, yeah. Eventually, but
they
first
the
they
FBI.
Start as spaghetti.
Yeah, this FBI, this, yeah, a lot of stuff in that is realistic.
It's a lot of stuff. Then you got the 14 high school students in Nebraska going on a trip to Italy that gets dark when the teacher cooks them. Then you've got the voodoo spell advice from friend Tony, best friend Tony.
Tony.
it's Tony with an I, if that changes your picture.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or finally, the ahead of its time black comedy about the spaghetti, flying spaghetti monster. Anyone want to jump in?
I think I like the... a la the menu, the Italian one serving up the students.
Yep.
Very Netflix, you know what I mean? Like the high school students. That could be like a Netflix film that, like, or Stan. Let's
be honest.
It's
like they saw the cinema version. Yeah. They're like, what can we make on like $8,000?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes. And it would, what was it, 2023, did you say?
2023.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, it's that tracks because it sounds like something, the menu had come out.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's, but also, I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
Which tracks. Like, if there'll always be some under-the-radar movie that's just kind of a copy of another movie.
Yes,
and they always do it, like, so it's like Italian, so
it's
a foreign language, technically. They haven't fully ripped off the menu.
Yeah.
What are you thinking, Greg?
I also think that, and I think that mostly because it's the only one that has included the actors' names. I think that... I do like the Flying Spaghetti Monster one, though. I think
that's the one I think it is.
I think that one has potential to be real as well.
Is that the one that was like a black comedy?
Yeah. That's why I'm going for it, because it didn't give the end. It was like, it was almost like you were reading the back of a DVD.
Yeah.
The Flying Spaghetti Monster is that thing that the people like invented that religion.
Yeah.
So, and I wouldn't be surprised if there was someone's like, I'm making a movie about this.
Yeah, exactly. That's like, it's a thing. I'm still going to say the Nebraska one, though. Nebraska.
Nebraska. That's for Greg.
I'm going to say, I'll say Spaghetti Monster then.
All right. Well, here's who wrote the answers. Again, this might shock you.
Did Amy write the steady fucking one?
Steady fucking Spaghetti for Life was actually written by Greg.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I spelled Spaghetti for Life like number four and then L-Y.
All caps.
That's nice. Yeah, that's good.
Alan Butcher, the aspiring chef. That was written by the question writer, Ben, aka The House. Mm-hmm. He also wrote the spaghetti monster one.
Oh my gosh.
So a point for the house there. Then the one about the 14 high school students in Nebraska.
No!
That was Mish.
No! That's good.
Oh, four in a row, Amy. Yeah, you picked Mish.
You're obsessed with me.
You are obsessed.
You've got to be a film writer. You've got to make some movies.
I just love a big wet.
Another big wet joint.
That's your, every movie has a big wet joint.
The one Amy wrote was about George's grandma.
I tried to write lunch buffet and I typoed.
You
typed
it, and that's why I said, I'm like, what
was
is that?
Was that the Grammy one?
Is that why you said your vision went blurry?
That's why I said my vision went blurry.
Grammy Pearl.
Yeah. I didn't understand what that word was.
See, since then, I'd been genuinely concerned that maybe you were having a mini stroke.
Yeah, sorry.
And then I was only doing that.
I tried to write it to you, but it didn't get to you in time of like, no, buffet.
Okay. What? Because it wrote
it lunch said lunch better.
Better,
but Grammy better
Pearl
was
after the
be.
Lunch better. I'm the after the lunch.
What?
my sorry, guys, my vision.
I think we have to call an ambulance to cover.
And I commit to it just to save Amy's answer.
Yeah, I will say, yeah, the commitment to a health episode was amazing.
You pay a massive fine for like calling out an ambulance.
I didn't
want to
sell Amy's question out, your officer. Is that what you call him?
Your officer.
Your officer.
That's what someone who's really stoned says to an officer. Thank you, your officer.
Don't make me swim with the fishes, off your officer. And then, so that means the correct answer, no
was
one went,
chef.
Was, did I not read, was there another one I didn't read it? No, the correct answer was Tony giving the voodoo spell advice.
I gotta see this movie now.
It's called Spaghetti.
Fucking Tony.
Is there a trailer?
I'm sure that was one of you. Like,
yeah, who plays Tony? I have to know who the fuck Tony is.
And is Tony involved with voodoo? Tony's, or does she just go, I don't know, voodoo spell?
Tony's played by Donna Glitch. Doesn't have a photo on
Oh, the poster is movie. Foul.
Yes. Honestly, guys, add it to the list. This day is getting better.
We got spaghetti, we got Howard the Duck, we got the Fanatic.
And it's only an hour and 20, which I like.
Wow. Yeah. In and out. Yeah.
And if you play it on like 1.5 speed,
yeah, you race.
That's a lunch break. That's perfect.
But you can buy it on Apple TV.
It's got some amazing. Like, it doesn't have enough, or it doesn't have any critical. Reviews to give it a Rotten Tomatoes score, but there's so many user reviews on IMDb, and they're all pretty glowing, apart from one that says worst film ever. But the rest are like highly entertaining, a slow burning psychological horror triumph.
Well, this one here I'm reading, it's like it's a cinematic odyssey.
Wow. And that feels a bit like they've got their friends to sort of spam over it.
I think user reviews might not be as trustworthy as you think.
In fairness, it's on Tubi, which we love, but also it has an Instagram page that has 9,000 followers.
Okay. Mm. Maybe it just might be a cult classic.
Yeah.
I'm going to look it up.
Yeah,
me too.
What's it got to do with spaghetti again? What's the... What? I just remember Tony and the voodoo and I can't even remember.
They were just hungry when they were writing.
It does not mention spaghetti at all.
See, that actually should have been a giveaway for us.
Yeah.
That's on us for now.
Yeah.
Picking that up.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, well, let me quickly figure out the final scores here.
Mm.
So two of you went for Mish there, one went for me, one for the house. So at the end of the game, Greg and Amy still on 3 points, equal third place. The house on 7 points in second spot, but out in front on 12 points, it's
12.
Mish.
I beat the house. Woo. I beat the house. Your system's flawed, Matt.
And you beat Zach's score of 10.
Yeah, which is what I'm here for. Now I can never come back.
Thanks so much for being on the show. Where can people find you, Amy?
Amy Louise Ruffle on Instagram and at Something Good Comedy at Comedy Republic.
That's every...
Wednesday nights, 8:30, and then during festival, we're doing Saturdays at 4:30 for the whole thing.
That's the one that's called a group of people are doing a...
No, that's different.
Improv show.
So that's called Something Good.
Yes.
That's the show. And then a group of people doing an improv show is the ensemble cast of Thank God You're Here doing a show, but we cannot say we're affiliated with the brand Thank God You're Here. So it's a group of people doing improv.
Wow, that's awesome. What about you, Greg? Are you doing a show this year?
I am. I'm doing a show called Revolting. It's at Perth, Adelaide.
So you're dressed up like a French king or something?
Yeah, I dressed up like a 18th century French king and then got naked people to stand around me.
It's the best poster I've ever seen.
Yeah, I hope so, because it costs a fair bit. But it's, yeah, I'm doing Adelaide, Perth, Melbourne and Sydney. Other cities or dates, TBC, but all those are on sale now. Perth is the next one coming up real soon. Get your tickets, please.
And you've got a brand new podcast as well.
Oh, yeah, I've got a podcast called The Greg Larson Show. It's one episode out. There'll be another one in a couple of days. It will be something.
That's awesome. And how about you, Mish?
You find me on Instagram at Mish Wittrop, or my podcast, Mission Zach Zach with Zamarama. You can listen to that wherever. Or we have an Instagram at Mission Zach. And my comedy festival show is Act Like I'm Not Here. And at this stage, it's just Melbourne and Sydney. But keep an eye out, because you never know.
Awesome. Thanks so much for joining us, you three. It was a lot of fun. Thanks for listening, everyone at home. Give us a 5-star review. Why not? People have started doing that because I've been asking in a way that I think might be a bit sad and desperate, but it's made them feel bad. And it, you know,
whatever works.
When Zach and I first started our podcast, we said you can criticize us, like, but we will not read your criticism or address your criticism at all unless you attach it to a 5-star review.
Perfect.
So we got lots of 5-star reviews, but they were like, we'd really appreciate it if you would kind of change this.
Yeah.
This podcast sucks. But lots of 5-stars.
The algorithm doesn't know.
Nope, they have no idea.
Cheers for tuning everyone to Who Knew It with Matt Stewart. Now that you know it, I've been Matt Stewart. Goodbye.
Sorry, is it Instagram?
Or just messenger me the answer somewhere.
Send you the message.
You DM me the answer.
I thought there was a group chat.
Oh, no group chat, sorry.
Okay, yes.
Not that you're in.
Yeah, we've got one.
Yeah. No, that's cool. How do you get into group chats? Like, I've always wanted to be in one. Do you have to talk to someone?
If it's going to happen for you, it'll happen.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay.
You right for a water, Greg? I'll go get you a cup of water.
That'd actually be all right.
It'd be all right.
Is that part of the show?
That's all part of the show. Big wet.
Is this still being recorded?
And then there's just dead air.
Is this still being recorded?
Yeah. The lights on.
But hopefully cut.
But, yeah, I mean, if you guys say anything real funny while I'm out, that'll probably make it easier.
God, if only we could.
Yeah, how do we take him down? Let's destroy Matt
Stewart.
How does
Big Wet take over this podcast?
I could do it. I reckon I could do it. The people love it.
I think give him a demeaning nickname so that asserts your power.
Mm.
He's like little dry boy.
Little dry boy.
I don't think anyone wants to listen to a show like, hey, I'm little dry boy, this is my podcast.
The LDB in the house.
Little dry boy.
Oh, little dry boy. He's too dry.
You know, he's having a little sook. Oh, you've been a little dry boy.
Is little dry boy upset? I've already put my answer in.
Yes, sir.
No, I can't do two things at once. It's very hard on this podcast.
You're going to be fine. You're like improv queen.
Thank you so much. The problem I have with this game, and these kinds of games, is you constantly have this battle going between how do I win, like I want to have a convincing answer, but also I can't not be on.
Oh.
Like I've got to do something funny here.
It's the most beautiful, like it's mind challenge.
Yeah.
Do I be funny or do I beat you?
Yeah.
Because to beat you, I would have to sacrifice humor.
Mm-hmm.
But if I want to be funny, which I'm trying to be at the moment,
that's the goal.
I'm not going to win.
Mm. I think the great thing is I ineffectively do both. Yeah. I can't play the game and I miss being funny and it's kind of shit on both sides.
I never listened to The Who.
No, I know their songs that are like the big, probably I know like 6 songs or something.
Yeah, that wah!
Yeah, yeah, all the ones from the start of crime shows.
Yeah.
The one about the pinball wizard.
Mm.
Oh, and the one that Limp Bizkit covered.
Wait.
Behind Blue Eyes, remember?
Is that a Who song?
That's a Who
Whoa.
Song.
Whoa.
Really?
No, that will forever be Fred Durst. He owns that shit now.
What was that for? It was for a movie.
Was it?
Yeah, the film clip was based on a movie, and Halle Berry was in the film clip.
Oh.
What was that movie? What was the movie?
Catwoman?
Catwoman? Maybe it was Catwoman.
The Flintstones?
X-Men? X-Men 2?
Swordfish? Swordfish?
No, because I think it was. I gotta look this up.
That was massive because she took her top off in that. And everyone talked about it.
In Swordfish?
Yeah. That was John Travolta. Hugh Jackman. Right on the edge. Right on the edge. John Travolta was. And if you mean the edge of what, I'm not going to expand on that, but just watch Swordfish and then watch something he made 3 years after that.
Oh, that was his cliff.
Yeah, that was the cliff. Isn't it remarkable how Hollywood has forgiven John Travolta? Like, do you know what I mean? They just kind of let him be a bit of a fuck.
Did you?
He's
a bit of a fuck.
I didn't realize.
Not a bad fuck. He's a good fuck.
Oh, yes, okay. Like, I knew it was a bit of a.
Just like an oddball, sort of.
Like, yeah, a bit of an oddball.
Yeah.
But he's deep Scientology, right?
Deep, yeah.
But he also never really. He's not like Tom Cruise. Like, he's never, like, publicly doing anything for it or appearing in it.
Yeah.
Or, like, spokespersoning for it.
Yeah.
And I reckon there's. Well, I remember watching one of those documentaries and they're like, I reckon there's something going on with John Travolta, like they know something about him or something, so he's like in it, but he's not.
Oh, right.
But also,
they've got him. You reckon they've?
Maybe they know stuff about him.
Oh, wow.
They know stuff because that's what they do.
Yeah,
the Scientologists. Yeah. But also, sort of unrelated, but related to Fred Durst and John Travolta, there's a movie that was written and directed by Fred Durst. Starring John Travolta.
No, there wasn't.
We watched it recently. Wait, did we watch it? Is it the one with?
Fred Durst directed
a
movie.
Insane.
It only came out like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, it's pretty recent. Yeah.
Oh no.
And John Travolta plays like this super fan.
Oh no.
I think it's called. I don't know. What's it called? The fan or
like a Limp Bizkit boy. Super fan.
The fanatic.
The fanatic. Yes. It's insane.
I have to watch.
You
this.
Have to watch this.
This is
goddamn
like
movie.
Right 2019. Up my street.
Yeah.
The one I watched the movie that he was signed on to direct, but he quit before they started.
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty bad.
Oh, my God. Oh, it's on Prime. I could watch it.
It is. I promise you, this is a movie you watch with friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to have some wine.
You got to be loose.
You got to be loose.
Bananas. I can't believe this movie was made in 2019, because based on this poster, that is the most 1998 film I've ever seen in my life.
Like, there's some questionable characterization in this film.
Oh, it's big time.
Yeah.
But for the listeners out there, it says John Travolta in The Fanatic, and the tagline is, all he wanted was an autograph.
That's great. I think that could be a future question on the show, Greg, if you don't mind. Can we have that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that was great.
Absolutely.
I'm going to watch this. Like, I've already screened. I'm ready.
It's really good.
I kind of want to be there to watch you watch it.
Yeah, we'll get a group together. Yeah. Like, we'll make it happen.
Have a screen.
You can host, Greg.
Yeah.
Okay, let's hire out a cinema. Hear me out.
That would be a fun cinema
That's
experience.
That's fun, yeah.
I'll contact Lido. I know some people there. They could do a viewing just for my friends. Oh, I'm an addict.
Leah Thompson, Greg. Little actor.
Leah Thompson.
Yeah, she's pretty famous.
What's she in? Why do I know that name?
She was Marty McFly's mom in Back to the Future.
Have you not seen Howard the Duck? Phenomenal film.
Wait, are you talking to me?
Yeah.
I was just talking about how I loved Howard the Duck.
Oh, sorry, I was not listening at all. I was not listening. I'm so sorry. Yeah. I went into my own world.
Oh, I felt like I was losing my mind for a second.
When I came out, all I heard was Matt describing the mum from Back to the Future. I'm like, oh, Greg hasn't seen Howard the Duck. I'm so sorry. I was not paying attention to anything happening. I apologize. Can you enjoy musical theatre?
No.
You love, don't you?
I love.
Yeah,
yes.
You love. I tend to love.
Okay.
Not
nice.
All, but I do it. I appreciate and enjoy.
You were a quick denial there, Greg.
Yeah, but I don't. I do and I don't, right? Because I love music. I love all kinds of music. Mm. And I love musicals in theory.
Mm.
The thing that I don't love, right, is that you. Like a musical, I would say 90% of musicals are like 3 really good songs and then 10 like, are you going to the shops?
Yeah. They're always doing that song. Yeah. It's like, that was crazy in Annie though. Like, Are you going to the shops?
Daddy Warbucks, are you going to the shops?
There's so, like, I feel like there's so much filler in musicals.
Yep.
Not in Annie.
Not in Annie. Every one of those is a banger. Well,
I don't think there's a dud in Annie.
The only
if you are going to see Annie, watch the original movie Annie. Carol Burnett slaps.
Not she's Cameron, so funny. I watched that a few months ago. I loved it as a kid.
Yeah. Same.
And I watched it a few months ago, and I never realised how funny she is. But she's so funny. She dominates.
Oh, yeah, she should really look.
Tim Curry is very funny as well. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Tim Curry's in it. I
love Tim Curry.
He's like my one of my celebrity crush moments. Mm. I'm obsessed with Tim Curry.
I think that I don't know if I like any other musicals though, but maybe I haven't seen that many.
Seen Rocky Horror Picture Show with Tim Curry? I've watched the Tim Curry ones.
Yeah, I haven't. I don't think I've seen
that. I've seen the musicals that I've been to the theatre to see are Les Mis, The Boy from Oz, and Book of Mormon.
Mm.
Love Book of Mormon. Yeah. Love Boy from Oz. Les Mis, I love the two songs that are good in it.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And that more than any felt like it was like, oh man. Those two songs are real good.
Yeah.
The rest of it's just like, oh,
yeah. Going to the shops.
Yeah, they're going to the
it's
shops.
Going to the shops.
And that one's all in French. Is that all French?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen Annie. Thanks for doing this, Greg. Been meaning to have you on for ages, but I realised I couldn't figure out how to get onto you.
Oh, yeah.
I nearly only use
Facebook stuff.
Messaging, yeah.
Yeah, I got rid of Facebook ages ago and I forgot that it's still...
Mm.
I think I miss out on lots of stuff because of not being on Facebook.
I got hacked mid-last year and by someone in Portugal and they deleted my Facebook, completely.
Oh, wow.
Got rid of my Messenger or whatever, but it was so freeing. And then I realised at the end of the year that I'd missed so many birthday parties. So yeah, I was like, well, I'm going to get it again now.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss Honor Wolf's 30th. That's not okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have it either. And
I don't use
it. I like to think that's why I don't get invited to things, but I don't think
the only thing I use Facebook for now, for entertainment purposes that isn't Messenger for, work shit, is I live in and I'm part of the community page.
Oh.
Phenomenal.
Really?
Oh, it's just people can people please put their bins away? Bins get taken on Tuesday morning. It is Wednesday evening. Surely that's long enough. You drive past them every day. They're so good. Or
Did it blow up for Australia Day?
Yeah. Yeah, that was nuts. And mostly it was just people need to mind their business. Because Alistair was my neighbour, right? So Tremley Bertrand before he moved to fucking Canada. But we underneath occasional posts where people would just be losing it, races, whatever. Mm. Either him or I would just be lol. And it's so funny. It's the best thing ever. I just sit there and read the most ridiculous shit. My daughter lost her hat in the park. It was there for all of 10 minutes. We came back and it was gone. Someone has it. Please return. It's so funny.
Whoever's taken hats from parks is not in a community. Yeah. What are you? What's going to happen here?
The most soothing thing is the clickety clack of your nails, Mish.
Thank you. I realized you didn't compliment me. You just stated that it was interesting. I assume soothing. That everyone loves these fucking talents.
I said soothing. That's a compliment.
It's for my ASMR TikTok. I've started a YouTube channel that's purely ASMR. I haven't, but if people want that, let me know and you can give me money for it. I wonder how the term pussy came about in relation to a vagina.
Yeah, I thought it feels more modern.
I feel okay, I'm obviously completely wrong, but to me pussy seems very 70s.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Thing.
Greg?
Yeah, maybe. Just thinking about the etymology of the term. What if they invented it?
These guys?
Yeah, what if they invented
it? Do you think these guys, are we all in agreement that these guys were definitely talking about vagina?
100%.
Without a doubt. Without it's not a, like they wrote a song about a cat question. And then people turned around and went, what I mean?
There's no question.
These guys no loved vagina.
It's so weird listening to that kind of music too, knowing that in its day, that was... that all seems quite ooh, howdy, Pip.
Yeah.
Toodle Pip. That seems quite, in its day, that was like punk music or whatever. That was that was what kids were listening to, and adults were going, "Oh, this stuff is bad."
Mm.
Like that little that was the like
the naughty music.
Yeah, the naughty music.
Yeah, you're right, and the grandparents like, turn off that racket
song. Yeah, yeah. I'm like,
turn off that pussy song.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.